Welcome, everybody, to the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I've got another new interview with a Las Vegas headliner to share with you today. Dionne Warwick, who has always had a strong presence in Las Vegas and performed at pretty much every major casino resort on the Strip through the decades. She came back after being gone from Vegas for a few years. She came back and played at the Jubilee Theater at Bally's last year for a special engagement. And then more recently moved over to Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace, a much smaller venue than she's used to playing. And we talked about that a little bit in this interview as well. Dionne Warwick just got a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award this year, and she's still going strong, creating new music, traveling the country to perform when she can, when she'll be allowed to, and she'll be back at Caesars again very soon. This is our conversation.
So yesterday, I was working at home, of course, and we had some music on in the background. I don't know. I think it was like a Pandora station or something, and it was just a sort of a shuffle of different music. And Say a Little Prayer comes on, and I thought, this is kind of the perfect song that I need to hear right now. It's upbeat, gave me a little energy. And then right as that song was on, I got the message that I'd be able to speak with you today. So you have incredible timing.
And I'm in show business.
So you were in Las Vegas this month performing at Caesars when everything got shut down, right?
Yep, she was.
For you, was it pretty much getting out of Dodge as quickly as possible, or what kind of a strange experience was that?
This whole thing is a very strange experience at all. Yes, of course, there was no point in me staying in Vegas when I have a lovely home here in New Jersey that I very seldom get to see or hang out in. And I must say, as I've been telling my friends who have been calling me and or texting me or emailing me, I'm enjoying it, I must say. You know, although it's a stupid way to have to enjoy something, it's almost like a vacation for me. You know, it's something I, first of all, never get to have. And, you know, it's wonderful not having to get up at the crack of dawn or run through an airport or get on an airplane or anything. The only thing I do miss, of course, is the actual performing for, you know, my people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have been, it seems, extra busy in the last couple of years, putting out new music and playing a lot of shows. But you've been touring and pretty steadily for a long time now, right?
Yeah, well, going into my 59th year now.
I know that when you started playing Las Vegas, I think you started playing at Sands originally.
Yes, I did. Uh-huh.
What's it like now to be performing at Caesar's Palace? Definitely one of the most iconic, I guess, classic properties on the Strip.
Well, when I left the Sands, the only other two hotels I worked was the Riviera and Caesar's. And at Circus Maximus, which was a wonderful room to work. So Caesars is not a stranger to me.
It's kind of amazing to me now that it's possible to go see you, see your show, and also see Wayne Newton's show, two musical legends that have been such a big part of Las Vegas through the years, in this very intimate Cleopatra's Barge space at Caesars mm-hmm. Palace. It feels like a great formula. Does playing in there kind of remind you of your history in Las Vegas throughout the years when you get to be so close to your audience?
Oh, yeah, it's been wonderful. It's been absolutely a ball. We've been having a great time. We've been pretty much selling out, which is a good old to say. People are still want to hear my songs and see me. It's been a cool thing.
And I'm sure that when you travel the rest of the country and the rest of the world to perform concerts, those are in much bigger spaces. So it must be a unique experience for you right now in Vegas.
Yeah, 90% of my, when I'm traveling and doing concerts, are in concert halls. So, of course, the larger spaces.
Does that affect your performance or kind of the way that you prepare for that show?
Not at all. What is being done in bars is what I do anywhere in the world.
You do what you do, and everybody is along for the ride.
Yes, for sure. And they seem to be enjoying it, so why fix it and broke?
Well, you have so many songs, too. Is that something that's difficult for you to, I guess, choose which songs? Because if you did what a lot of performers do in Las Vegas, kind of cruise through the greatest hits, that show would be 4 hours long, probably. So what's that like for you to kind of curate your show?
Well, you know, it's not easy, I'll tell you that, because you still get that occasional sing, and they'll say a certain song, and it's not part of the show. It's kind of, sometimes I keep saying, well, maybe I should, you know, and, well, it seems whatever I'm doing is working. So I'm like I said, it ain't broke, so I ain't going to try to fix it.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things with your career that maybe has gotten lost a little bit is that you were really a pioneer, you know, a black woman winning Grammys in pop music and having all those crossover mainstream hits. You really transcended genres with what you were doing in the 60s and 70s, paved the way for a lot of other artists. Was that something that you were conscious of at the time, thinking about?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, when I had gotten into the business, the team, BBW, back right there at Warwick, we were creating something that was never heard of before or heard at before. And we kind of niched our own little musical part of music in the pop world and the R&B world and country world and opera world and jazz world, just music. And that is how I consider myself. I don't consider myself a pop artist or an R&B artist or a jazz artist or anything. I have said on many occasions and continue to say, whatever the listening ear decides I am at that time. If you think I'm a jazz singer, then that's what I am for you. But I'm just singing what I call music. And I think that really kind of answers that question, I hope.
I know you've been making new music with your son in the last few years. What's that like? What's it like working with him professionally? And what is your creative process like?
It is most incredible. I am having a great time in the studio with my baby. And he has honed his craft. He's been doing it for quite a while, not only with me, but with many, many others, and very successfully so. And if he were not, you know, up to the standards that I've become accustomed to, he wouldn't be doing it for me. So I am so pleased and very proud of him. He has, he's taken me to other platforms that I haven't visited in quite a while. And it's been absolute joy. The only difference in working with Damon as a producer is that instead of calling me Dion, he calls me Mommy. That's the only difference.
How much fun did you have doing The Masked Singer?
It was an absolute ball. It was the cutest thing I think I've ever had a part of doing. It was a joy. I had a really good time.
Of course, you couldn't get very far because your voice is your voice, and it sounds like nothing else. So it was not the hardest thing for some people to identify, of course.
Exactly. You know, in fact, I said to the young lady that was helping me get dressed, you know, putting on that wonderful head of the mouse, I told her, I said, you know, after I did my first song and came backstage and she was taking it off, and I said, well, I'm going to say goodbye to you now. It's been wonderful. You've been absolutely delightful. She says, what are you talking about? Yeah, well, you're not going anywhere. I said, oh, yes, I am, darling. Everybody knows my voice. There's no way in the world I'm going to get past those four sitting up on that thing called judges, but they don't know who I am. So she says, oh, no, you're going to go further. I said, well, I wish I could. But in the interim, it's been fun, and it really has. So, you know, Erica said, well, can't you disguise your voice? I said, I don't know how. You know, it's going to be what it is. And as we all found out, they knew who I was.
And you got a chance to mention on the show that you're a Raiders fan and how Al Davis made you an honorary coach a while back. Yeah. Are you excited about the prospects of going to a Raiders game in Las Vegas sometime in the near future?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a diehard fan. I will be at as many games as I possibly can.
Dion, thanks again for taking the time to speak with me today. Is there anything else that you want to say to your fans who can't wait to come back to Las Vegas and see you again?
Yeah, and I am as anxious to get back to doing what I do for you and hope that everybody stays safe, follow instructions, stay inside, get cabin fever. It's okay. It only lasts a little while.
Thank you for listening to the Sun on the Strip podcast. You can find this show at lasvegassun.com/podcast or at Apple Podcasts. To stay in tune with everything that's happening in Las Vegas today, be sure to visit lasvegassun.com. I'll be back with another episode in a couple of days. Thanks again. Stay safe. Have a great week.